Thanks for listening to the All About Reality Pod. And before you smash that skip ahead button, let me tell you about Breaking Tea and a sweet discount for our listeners. Breaking Tea makes cool, timely, comfy t-shirts and stuff for sports fans. If Pat Mahomes hits on a play called Jet Chip Wasp to win the Super Bowl, they've got a great-looking Jet Chip Wasp shirt the next day. If Max Muncy tells Madison Bumgarner to go get it out of the ocean, same thing. If Megan Rapinoe breaks off the Are You Not Entertained pose in the World Cup, well, you get the point. So check out the site, BreakingTea.com, and use code REALITY15 for 15% off at checkout. It'll help the pod, it'll help Breaking Tea, and it'll help you get a new favorite shirt for you or someone you love. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to All About Reality. We emerge from a week of mourning and violence in the National Football League, and we bring on a guy that Goody has been in my ear about for an awful long time. Nando, welcome to the program. Goody, introduce your boy. I'm excited. He's gonna lift me up, lift me out of the doldrums, take me away from trading away the best player in fantasy. These things hurt me, so let's go.
Sure. First off, I guess a few episodes ago we had Matthew Berry on, and Matthew Berry said that I gave like a really good intro, so hopefully I do it justice with you, Nando.
Yeah, you better. Like, I want a better one than Barry.
Yeah, if nothing else, that maybe that'll be a new career for me or whatever. I'll just be like Michael Buffer of introducing fantasy analysts.
The fantasy hype man.
Right, exactly. So first off, from formerly of AOL, CBS, currently the managing editor of Fantasy Football for The Athletic, a Harvard grad, the BFF of Adam Azer from CBS, the president of the Rod Streeter fan club, a baseball enthusiast and card collector. Like I said, the managing editor of The Athletic has the Jakey and Nando show with our old friend Jake Seeley. And recently The Athletic's fantasy football podcast episode dropped with Mr. Emery Hunt. Somebody probably, I think, in the fantasy space who I would most like to work for. And someone who played in the NQGL Reality Sports Online League with us for a time, Mr. Nando DeFino. Nando, happy to have you.
Thank you very much, man. That was an excellent introduction. I'm not a Harvard grad. I took night classes there and then just threw that on my LinkedIn. I'm assuming that's where you got it from.
Goodwill Hunting or whatever. Like he was the janitor there, but he still succeeded at MIT, right?
So. Yeah, well, I mean, these are just you pay like, I think at the time it was like $600. You just, anyone could do it. No one was there to stop me, but it was still Harvard education.
Still Harvard. When you followed us on the SFB Podathon, we saw all those, you know, accreditations on the wall.
Or my dad's,
like everyone else.
My grandfather's, my dad's.
Hey, it's just a smart gene pool. And like the only reason I think you went after us during the SFB Podathon was like we got on base just so you could knock us in. So like power.
No, well, Shane Battier. Yeah, that was my whole thing was just Shane Battier talked the whole time, and I just kind of looked there and waved.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Luke, real quick on SFB, did you see the leaderboard? Like, must be something in the water because Tom Everett Scott's like 15th overall in SFB.
That is the word on the street. He's doing well across a couple leagues, according to various and sundry podcasts that we have going on. But I do like that you guys started off with all these credentials. I was getting ready to dust off some friendly banter about that community college up in Cambridge there. But nonetheless, Goody for some reason never ever defers to me when I point out that I have multiple degrees from higher education institutions. He's always just like, whatever, you're dumb. And I think that's an accurate way of going. I think that's a reasonable approach to me as a person. So, like,
Luke, you got to be a guest instead of the co-host, man. You get one of these. Yeah.
This is really Luke's show. I mean, seriously, you know, like nobody wants to hear about my advanced degree either. I mean, they'd rather hear about our 15-0 2018 season, right?
That is our fantasy football competition far outstrip anything we can do in life. Though I will say, I like that you snuck in your love of Nando and wanting to work for him. My little brother did that, talking to Dana White on his ESPN program out in Utah, and that was like his first shot at the UFC. Like he gave him the shot because my brother started talking trash on the program as the host to Dana White.
So, oh, that's pretty awesome.
That's nice. Wow. Yeah. All right. And Luke, we're still gonna have to have your brother on sometime. time. If Kenneth,
unfortunately, he mocks all of us in as a former athlete and former UFC fighter. He's anti fantasy sports, and as you might imagine, I don't engage him in physical anymore to like.
Well, then instead we need to have his co-host Jeff Schwartz on, right?
Yeah, good call.
From Pac-12, not, yeah.
Thanks, man. But like, we've got a lot to get to with you, and we're both huge fans of the content that you drive over at the Athletic. And so talk us through what like that looks like. Yeah, I think you're our first like real insight to how the way that brand is being built and the way that is coming together. And like a lot of people really love it in our sphere and in the Twitterverse. So talk to us a little bit about how you're going about that, how that came together for you.
It was very cool. It was actually this guy, Dan Kaufman, who kind of helped put it together. He hired me. And he was just kind of, you know, I gave him a plan. We went through the plan. He liked it. And it was just kind of like, let's try something different because, you know, the Athletic, you got to pay for it. It's a subscription service. There's, I guess, like, you know, just a higher degree of expectation with it. So basically, you know, some people I'd worked with across the way, some people I had read before that I really, really liked. You know, you got that list in your head of the people, like, if I get this job, I want to hire these three people. And luckily, I got to hire like eight of them. It was, you know, Emery Hunt was the scout. Michael Salfino was like the numbers guy who's relatable. You go down the list and everyone just like one by one, like has like Renee Miller is this neuroscientist who talks about biases and just does stuff that no one else is doing. So that was like you just in my brain, I was just thinking like, I'd want to read something cool and different. And I don't want it to just be like a start sit column or a stock watch column. And if we got to do a start sit column, I'd like to at least get someone like last year's Stockwatch. We had Corey Parson doing it for a little while. And he has like such a unique view on players and a unique kind of voice, the way he's writing stuff. It was like a Stockwatch. It was basically a column and we put the Stockwatch stuff in parentheses. So basically the idea was smart, unique, entertaining, obviously, and definitely helpful. And everyone just kind of, if you read from, you know, Monday to Friday, you're going to get an experience where, you know, you're ready to set your lineup. You're going to be awesome. But you're like, oh, that was kind of fun and I enjoyed it. So that was basically the general idea as we kind of put it all together.
And you read our mind a little bit. If you could point us all to one or point our listeners, the Reality Sports Online GMs, to like one kind of really unique piece of content that you put out there. Is there one that stands out to you that they're like, you guys got to come check this out. It's worthwhile to read this or to see this.
Renee won the FSWA's best fantasy football series last year. And it's just like, she wrote this story in the preseason about the science of getting sniped and how not, well, we actually had to change our title, you know, from the first hour that it was up because there was a swear word in it, but it was like, it ended up being like how not to freak out when you get sniped. And she goes through like, you know, what is your brain doing when someone takes a player that you wanted right before? And obviously it's not relevant right now, but like, that's the kind of stuff that she's doing on a weekly basis. Cognitive bias stuff and just making sure you didn't get into confirmation bias with what happened the week before. It's I don't know, man. I mean, she's a neuroscientist. I can't say she's smart. She's smart, you know, like, but it's just interesting stuff when you kind of juxtapose it onto fantasy football.
Yeah, no, goody. We're fans, right? So I'll kick it over.
Right. Yeah. No, we had Dr. Renee Miller on, was our first guest from the Athletic. Thanks to you, Nando.
Oh yeah.
We had Salfino on that same year, and he's writing a pretty interesting column today on how to figure out, or this week, about Fab and how to go about, you know, making bids, kind of using, I would say, a simple math, I would say,
yeah.
a little bit of an algorithm. And the Brain Game series from Renee was amazing. I mean, you got Jake the cereal man writing column about 60 favorite cereals, but keeping it fun and you know, intertwined with all the stuff he's putting out for fantasy football and on the podcast. And so we've had all those folks on, and it's definitely a unique experience that gives you all that context. But what I also like is that there's such a good log and interaction going on in the Q&A session that in theory you could just read the Q&A and have a good running dialogue of stuff in one place, as opposed to trying to search through Twitter that's updating every 5 seconds.
Oh, dude, yeah.
So
Virginia Zakis, we work with Inside Injuries. They do a column for us. Right. They do injuries like nobody else. Like they're amazing. And Virginia's incredible. And like people ask, like if she leaves a player out, she has a mailbag. So first of all, like anyone can ask a question. And then, like, always, every time, there's someone in the comment section being like, what about Paris Campbell? And she writes, like, another three paragraphs on Paris Campbell right in the comment section. And I'm like, you know, you write a whole, like, you didn't have to do that much, but she does. Like, it's cool. Right. And it's all, like, this funky, cool, like, quantitative stuff in there.
Right. And what's impressive, I mean, I cited her when I was talking, when Luke and I were talking, and we'll get to it in a little bit about the Saquon Barkley trades too, and just what his injury looks like, because I don't think I saw that anywhere else. You know, a lot of times, oh, someone tore their ACL, they're out 9 months. Like,
right.
not so fast.
But yeah, yeah.
We'll get to that too. And then, you know, obviously you have the podcast. So the podcast you have with Jake or whatever, the on YouTube, kind of a quick hitter, the Jakey and Nando show.
Yeah, that's the unofficial title.
Yeah. So what's that about for folks who haven't checked it out yet? Other than Jake showing his vast collection of Funko Pops and, you know, jerseys.
It really is. It's incredible. It's sick.
Well, I know we got to get, it's funny because you have the cutout of the Mariner, you know, you got your cutout of the Mariners games
yeah,
here, and
yeah.
Jake has all this Funko stuff. So if you two ever make if we're ever allowed to travel again, you two come up to Seattle or whatever and take your Mariners game and Funko headquarters to the pop store that I took my kids to last January. And it's, you know, it's out of this world.
Tell you what, man, not to get us off track, but since you brought up Funkos, I've been to I go to Comic-Cons as a member of the press to look for sports stories.
Right.
And I go to the Toy Fair every year to look for sports stories. And like the Funko booth and the stuff that Funko comes up, like I literally had to stop myself from buying a lot of Funko stuff. But it's just like these weird referential things that they come up with.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, I want to buy it, but I can't. There's nowhere to put it. They take up a lot of space.
Yeah, totally.
You know, true. I got to go to one last summer when we were still allowed to like travel and move about and encounter other human beings. And one of my buddies is an editor at Marvel, and it was really fascinating to see the crowds that would go after the Funko stuff and really got into it. It was really cool to see and fascinating to me. I had no idea it was quite as big as it is.
And they're worth money. You get the right. Some of the early ones were thousands of dollars.
Right. So yeah.
So anyway, yeah, Jake. Yeah, he's great.
yeah.
So we got the we're doing a Sunday morning streaming show for 11 to 12:30. And so Jake and I, we needed to do a test to make sure that StreamYard, we were using StreamYard for it, and StreamYard worked. So we basically did a 7-minute, let's just go live. And if it's good, we'll just keep the public button on. And in 7 minutes, we got a billion questions and people just kind of jumped on it and we got a ton of views. And we're like, all right, maybe we could just do this every Tuesday for 7 minutes. And then it became Tuesday and Thursday for 10 minutes. And the last one was Tuesday for 17 minutes. So I don't know what it is, but it was a test that just kind of turned into a couple guys hanging out talking fantasy and getting a bunch of hits, which was nice. So we just keep doing it. People want it. We'll keep doing it. Jake answers right. questions in more than one sentence or a hashtag.
Right.
Well, we appreciate it. So let's make Nando answer some questions for us while we've got him in front of us, huh?
Yeah, so I guess the first just industry question before we get into some of the specifics of what's happened the first 2 weeks of the season, but just in terms of fantasy football in general, obviously we play a game that's multi-year salary cap league, basically, in Reality Sports Online, with contracts, extensions, things like that. You have on one side, you have DFS, and you have prop bets on games or seasons or whatever, and then you have kind of the traditional experience of people playing Yahoo leagues or ESPN leagues or CBS or whatnot, you know, maybe with an element of creativity on rosters and whatnot. So where do you think fantasy football is heading in the future, just both from a content perspective and just how the game is played?
Well, I think content's going to keep getting better. I mean, every year you see kind of these new measures and numbers and statistics. And it's just, I mean, it's wide open for someone to, I mean, I don't buy into a lot of them, but they're there and people seem to enjoy them. So I think it's just going to keep going. It seems to be very popular. I think it's going to be a little more personality driven. Like you've seen Chris Harris and Brad Evans, you know, start their own thing and go off and not miss a beat and be awesome. And Mayo's in there with Evans now, you know? So I think it's, you know, you're going to find the people you like and follow them and go to their site and just, you know, kind of be part of this community. Like we've unlocked something with the Q&As and just making sure everybody gets their questions answered. So I think I hate to make it sound like all it's going to be a community thing, But I think people like, that's what you like playing with your friends. You like the expert that you want to have a beer with, who's also, you know, he's helping you win stuff. So I think it's going to trend a little bit toward that in terms of just what the industry looks like. But still, I mean, like Establish the Run puts on amazing stuff, right? And like, I like those guys. And so like, it's just kind of like, they're, everyone's raising the bar for everyone else, basically. And if you're not constantly raising the bar, then I think you might get left behind. Like, you can't just rest on your laurels. You can't put out crap and expect people to pay for it. Even you're ad based. You can't just put out garbage and have people think like they're going to be on, you know, your site for more than, you know, 19 seconds. So I think everyone's just a continual raising of the bar. I know people want to pivot to video and stuff, but I think a lot of people still like reading about fantasy. I think that's like still the wheelhouse. Podcasts, you know, where you can go 1.5 speed, that works too. It's just like, you know, people don't have a lot of time. I know it feels like they do, but I don't think their brain wants to take in 7 hours of fantasy a week. You know, it's, they have a limited window. I think video does well for us, so I guess I believe in it, but I really think like the written word is, and I'm not just saying this because of the Athletic, because we're doing other stuff anyway, right? But I do think like the constant raising of the bar, people just, you know, you want to sit in bed tonight and read a fantasy column, or you know, you want to read something in the morning before you make your waiver moves that night. You know, you're on the toilet, you want to read something. Like, it's just, I think that's, it's still just a good fit for that. So those are my hunches. I don't know if I'm wrong, you'll see us take a hard turn somewhere, but.
Right. But the constant raising of the bar makes the experience better. I mean, especially like when we have podcast guests on, you know, some of these folks, I haven't consumed their podcasts or some of their content before. And then I start researching and getting into what I'm looking at. I'm like, there's just an infinite amount of good stuff out there.
Yeah.
That, you know, the question is, how do you synthesize, especially as you get, you know, as an analyst, you get talked into doing more and more leagues too. And then, you know, I was joking in the SFBX room today with our league of 12 that, you know, Matthew's in, and basically was saying, hey, we're all, whether it says fan or analyst on before your name in this or whatever, it doesn't matter, because, you know, at 9 o'clock Pacific or noon Eastern on a Sunday, someone's asking one of Luke's buddies is asking him for advice and asking me for advice, and, you know, relying on, you know, our opinions for that sometimes. So, and I think that just cuts across so many different people, that which really makes this whole equation interesting.
Well, you know what else, like that you bring up a point that's very important, I think, in that. I think a lot more people, like, you got to respect your reader, because that your reader right now, like you said, like that's basically 80% of an expert. They just don't have the time to do it. Like that Selfino column you just talked, that came from a commenter who wrote like this really thoughtful 3-paragraph response to like an offhand thing he made about his fab equation. And he basically, we're just like, let's just do a whole column on this, man. This is really good stuff. I think we do a good job of respecting our reader, and not like just like writing smart stuff, but in the comments, you know, like some people say some smart things there and they make some good points, and we'll actually go back and maybe even like X out a couple things in the column because they made a good point, or even like reconsider it or spring a column out of it. So if you're still treating a fantasy football reader like they're a dummy playing in a 10-team league and don't understand like what air yards or targets are, then you're definitely not doing it right. Like you got to treat them like they're a graduate school student, not like they're in fifth grade, basically.
No, I think that's well said, right? It's a real thing. I saw an Onion article a few years ago about that trope that teachers have about how they learn more from their students. And the Onion article headline was, "Teacher who's learned more from his students for the last 12 years is fired when they discover this." And but having said that, what you speak to is absolutely right. There's a very thin line between the people that are striving to produce good, thoughtful, written content, as you describe, and the people that are consuming that content, right? Like, everybody has literal money in the game in some cases, and everybody certainly is emotionally invested in their fantasy teams. And so you have a lot of brilliant people out there that are hinged on people like you and people like writers at The Athletic that have access to different ways of looking at that information and that can give them a slight edge. And so the difference between the student and teacher is more time and resources, and oftentimes, as you say, the ability to deliver that in a way that tells a story. That's professionalism, and that's what sets it apart. And that's what I love as a teacher. And I think the best writers and my favorite analysts like understand that they're entertaining as well as they're gifting us information in a substantive way.
Right.
So
right.
along those lines, if I asked you, I don't want to ask you normal, like start sit and like the waivers.
It's fine, man.
But the first thing that I would say is, in RSO, of course, you know, we have to like make decisions with real quote unquote cap money as RSO GMs. Are there any players that are these favorites on the waiver wire this week that you see as having lasting power throughout this season or even beyond, if as potential extension candidates like the Jerick McKinnons of the world or the Gaskins or the or like even Mike Davis, people like that? So what do you think? Is there anybody that has potential to like be worthy of a season long look?
I think Darrell Henderson. He's the guy. So, we help people out, you know, and there's one of my dad's friends. I was on the phone with him for half an hour today, helping him work through the waiver wire pickups because they do theirs on Wednesday night. And we were going through them all, and everyone's kind of, you know, Mike Davis after four games could just be a backup again. Jerick McKinnon could be in a three-headed running back thing again. And you just go down the list. And so it's actually Emery who got us onto him pretty hard in Henderson. And he was still available in this guy's league. And I was like, look, even if they go back to a three-man backfield, Henderson's supremely talented, and especially Emery loves him. And that's a team where, you know, Henderson, I think, showed last week that he's got the skill to do it. So, I didn't buy the Malcolm Brown thing. I think he was a goal line back. But I think Henderson has that, like, spark and that electricity. And just like that, I don't know, like, when you look at him and you have him as your number one guy in your way, and you go to, like, week 10 in your brain or week 11 in your brain, and he's the guy who could be like 15 for 138, two. And he's on the Rams, but he feels like one of those San Francisco running backs who can just break out with not a lot of carries at any given time. And I don't know. He's got a pull for me. Everyone else just didn't do it. Like, to the point where if Henderson wasn't available in any of my leagues, I was going to wait until today, tomorrow to see when Nyheim Hines gets dropped. And I was going to grab him because the entire world is down on him for no reason. I mean, I know the reason, but it's the wrong reason. Yep. So those are my two that no one else really got me going this week. You know, everyone else just had like, there was a really palpable downside to everybody else.
You alluded to those 49ers running backs and Goody from your perspective. I know you had some speculative interest in McKinnon in the offseason. That looked very prescient. Now, if it came down to one or the other for you, are you leaning towards Henderson or McKinnon rest of season?
Oh, I'm leaning towards Henderson. I think Mostert's injury doesn't seem very significant, number one. I think that 49ers schedule is still pretty nice, and I think they should be able to get by the Giants, even if they sit Kittle and sit Garoppolo or whatnot this week. And I mean, Jeff Wilson in stretches has, you know, performed decently well as a goal line backer for fantasy purposes. So I do like McKinnon, and especially like Garoppolo was throwing a lot to the backs. I think McKinnon has a real role, especially now that Tevin Coleman is hurt. But I think Henderson, you've really only seen him healthy and have an opportunity just now. And if that guy's turning into a poor man's, you know, Alvin Kamara in front of our eyes, which a lot of the scouting reports were like basically like that when they picked him. I think he was like a third round pick or maybe second. I think third last year. And you have Akers with a rib injury. You got Malcolm Brown who just had finger surgery. So I think that Rams offense has kind of figured something out this offseason a little bit. And I agree with Nando. I mean, I think Darrell Henderson is still, for most RSO leagues that weren't startups that have started the last couple of years, he's probably still on like a first-round contract for those folks. But I think those people, you know, who waited and didn't, you know, sell off are, you know, could be rejoicing in a couple of weeks from that. So I think that's a pretty good call on Nando's end. And you know, especially when, like, you're talking like the Mike Davises of the world and like the Giants running backs, for instance. So I know on the waiver wire, I think you talked about the Giants with Jake before, and that was before the Freeman news had broke.
Right.
I mean,
we were banking on Rod Smith.
Yeah.
Jake thought I was crazy. I was banking on Rod Smith.
Right. But I mean, if you're gonna stake to someone long term, then why not do that? If you're in something super deep, like I picked up Jeff Wilson today in SFBX for like $9 in Fab because I didn't have a high enough bid for Mike Davis. I did, or like stuff like that, or Gus Edwards for $1. Like, you know, sure, in redraft and something on the bench in RSO, sure. But like, I think.
Talk to me about the stakes then. Goody, Nando, like, let's do something actionable.
Yeah.
Is a guy like Henderson worthy of a second rounder to go? If you're a contender and you're like, whoa, I'm scrambling now for that other flex spot, or I'm scrambling for my second RB spot, are you willing to kick a second rounder, knowing how valuable those picks are in our format? Are you willing to chase Henderson with a second rounder at this point, or is it still too early to make that kind of commitment? Nando, what do you think?
I don't know if you would have to, because like, I don't know, like, I don't have my fingers on the pulse of Henderson owners. Like, I like him. I feel like I'm kind of alone in that. But I don't think I would do that. I think enough people don't believe in him where you can get him for much less. I don't even know what it would be. Maybe like Antonio Brown. You know what I mean? If you had just like a dead Antonio Brown contract sitting there. You know what I mean? I don't think you would have to pay that big of a price. I wouldn't either, though. It's there's still down. I mean, there's downside. There's, you know, he could be that guy who's 5 for 50 with a couple receptions for 12, you know, but I think he's got that home runner. I like him, and I like him maybe a little bit more because I think a lot of people aren't on him yet and I can get him for a deal. So I don't think a second rounder would be a deal. I think that would be, that might be fair value of what I like him as, but you know, just in the real world, I don't think I would do that.
No, you're totally right. And across town, their rivals hit like a inadvertent home run, right? We saw one of the strangest storylines and a heartbreaking one as someone who was a big Terod tout in the offseason. I thought he was going to be quite good. To lose your starting spot because your lung gets pierced by a needle prior to the game is about as brutal an injury as I could imagine as an NFL player. And you feel for him, you feel for a medical staff that's clearly unintentional and that probably cost someone their job. So having said that, though, this inadvertent home run, like, Justin Herbert comes in and looks worlds better than any analyst that I saw thought that he was going to look in his first NFL start. Do we ever see Terod on the field again as a starter for the Chargers this season, gentlemen? What do you think? Goody, go for it. Why don't you tell us? You think you in? You say?
I was someone that, you know, is being out here in the Pacific Northwest. I had seen enough of Herbert. I didn't get what all the hype was about necessarily. I knew what the potential was, but I just thought he played with a revolutionary offensive line and just still didn't put up great passing numbers in a porous Pac-12 like defenses. But I mean, he was pretty impressive, especially with how they just managed some of their resources. I think he. In fantasy, you'd like to see Mike Williams get going a little more just as being the big play guy in that offense. Josh Kelly, we should definitely talk about him in a little bit. But I think that, you know, unfortunately, like, I don't think someone should lose their job because they had, you know, a freak accident or something else. But Herbert may give them no choice, I think. So I think that, you know, the coaches are probably went overboard in criticizing Herbert because of, like, before this information leaked about what happened. But I think if you're the Chargers, I don't know that Herbert puts you in any worse of a situation to be a 10-6 team than Terod Taylor. What do you think, Nando?
I go back to what Anthony Lynn said somewhere in the preseason. Like, you know, I finally got a quarterback who fits the system that I want to run. And so I think there might be a shot that Taylor comes back in. I mean, this is a guy who he knew from Buffalo and he pursued and brought in. And yeah, maybe he was a placeholder to a degree, but I don't think he was like a Baker Mayfield placeholder like he was in Cleveland. I think he actually had a shot to fit this offense as a running quarterback that Anthony Lynn wanted, or who Anthony Lynn wanted. So I think he's got – I mean – he still has that rib injury. I mean, right. On top of the punctured lung. And that was a weird rib injury that came up, I think, on the Friday report or in the Friday prior, something like that. It just popped up very quietly and not a lot of people knew about it. So when he was declared inactive at that last second scratch, I was like, oh, it must have been whatever that weird chest thing was on Friday. But it was not. I don't know how long that's going to last, but I mean, you still got to consider that he's got bad enough ribs where he's getting cortisone shots or whatever, you know, before the game, which, you know, might get damaged again, even if he gets back in there. I don't know. I just, I, I, I wish it was simpler and that he just somehow otherwise got his lung punctured, I guess. But it's, I mean, you still have an injury on top of that weirdness. So, so I don't know. I think there's a shot he does get that job back, but just, you know, out of the stubbornness of Anthony Lynn wanting his guy for his system. But I, you know, I'm sure the chances are low. I'd say maybe 35% that he starts another game.
Yeah, Nanda, you have a lot more faith in the presumption of rational coaching than many of us do at this point.
Well, yeah.
I think you're right. I think the will to give him another shot probably exists there. And I tend to think, right, an awful lot hinges on this game this weekend. If you really can't bench the kid if he comes out and lights it up again. I don't think anybody in LA is going to let that happen. So, having said that, Goody, this is where I was excited. And Nano seems like, as you said, he's got the right disposition to cheer me up. The metaphorical lung puncture took the wind out of my sails. It's like arguably the two darlings of the fantasy football world this offseason, the 1 and 2 overall pick in almost every draft I ever saw, are both shelved for the foreseeable future. And in Barkley and Christian McCaffrey, we have, like, you know, just no one wants to have this conversation, but we got to ask from a fantasy perspective, what are they doing for your team at this point? And from an RFO perspective, that means probably like trade value wise. And so can you give us some context to that, Goody?
Let's take a quick break because there's a lot to unpack with that. So let's pause for our sponsors for a second. Breaking Tea is doing great stuff with the Let Russ Cook shirt. As well as some other stuff. And then we have a new how-to.vote that deals with just kind of voter education and avoiding voter suppression. So let's take a quick pause for our sponsors. We'll be back with Nando and we'll talk Saquon and Christian McCaffrey. All right, folks, we're back and we're diving right into the two premium names in fantasy football and particularly the biggest contracts, I would say, in reality sports online leagues. That would be Christian McCaffrey, who is out 4 to 6 weeks with a high ankle sprain. And he's going in RSO leagues, 3.5 years in startups this past summer, $155 million, so cool, $44.3 million. Annual average. Saquon Barkley out for the year with a torn ACL and more stuff that Nando can talk about based on Virginia's article in The Athletic. He seems to be out for 12 months, 3.5 years, $165 million, $47.14 million for Saquon Barkley. Christian McCaffrey, both those guys, if they're on rookie deals, you probably have Christian McCaffrey for this year on the rookie wage scale, and then next year a top 10 transitional tag, and Saquon Barkley is just a year earlier than that. So you have probably 2 years of Saquon on the rookie deal, including this last year, and then whatever the transition tag looks like in year five, assuming most folks exercise that. So I guess the question is, like, what in Nando, in your world, like, what's the chatter from all of this with respect to Barkley and McCaffrey and both the fake and the real side of things with that?
Yeah, it's generally, I mean, like, sorry, Luke, like, it sucks, right? Like, it's the McCaffrey thing. I think people are looking at what happened with Saquon coming back last year and trying to play through the high ankle sprain and hoping that he exercises a little caution and waits a little while. It's kind of weird that it's, you know, you have your perfect example right there with the guy who went down the same week as you. But I don't know. I think everyone's a little more educated on what a high ankle sprain can do to kind of kill a guy's next 6 weeks if he comes back too early. So in a weird way, I think people are hoping that he misses a few extra weeks or at least, you know, hits the long side of that 4 to 6 week thing. With Barkley, I think people still believe in the talent. I mean, we've seen so many guys come back from an ACL tear. Virginia did point out that it's not going to be the exact same as, like, Cortland Sutton, who had a clean tear. Barkley had some complications where the swelling's not even down enough yet for them to actually go in and look at her, get a good glance at it, I think, off the MRI, she said. So he's going to be a little more delayed, I think, in coming back. Cortland Sutton's basically going to beat him back. But still, I mean, like, Barkley's awesome. You know what I mean? Like, and I think – we don't know what that Joe Judge offense or I guess the Jason Garrett offense, whichever one you want to call it, is going to look like. So in a weird way, I think you're going to get a bit of a sneak preview this year at what, you know, what it could have been. And then maybe be able to make a determination on, obviously Saquon Barkley is going to be the centerpiece of that, but, you know, will he be superstar in that offense? And Probably. I mean, maybe it gives the Giants another year to get a, you know, another offensive lineman and to try and get that to gel. So I don't know, man. Like, it's everyone's kind of down about it, but it's not like career ending stuff. You know, you just got to sit and wait, basically.
Right. And he's still pretty young. I guess with McCaffrey, to me, honestly, the fear, if he's out 4 to 6 weeks, that team could very well be staring down the barrel of 0-8. And then the question becomes, like, obviously McCaffrey is somebody who strikes me as the type who'd be eager to play and come back early or anything else. But that team's facing 0-8, and you can kind of do the San Antonio Spurs thing and have Trevor Lawrence and Christian McCaffrey kind of as the David Robinson and Tim Duncan.
Sure.
That doesn't sound so bad if you're a Panthers fan right now, probably. But obviously, that's a wait and see piece. But and then Barkley being out for the year, obviously in redraft, these guys, you know, especially Barkley's getting cut. But Reality Sports Online, where these guys are, you know, you're given 25% of your cap if you're doing startups too, like I mentioned, or even more than that. And in some cases, you're kind of left holding the bag depending on what kind of team you have. So
right.
I guess there's kind of two scenarios with that, Luke, that I'd like to get into. So first, you have the Barkley C-Mac on rookie deals and what your options are and the type of returns possible if you're looking to sell. Or, like, we can kind of gloss over that quickly and go to the, okay, if these guys are on startup league deals, like we just talked about, those huge contracts, and, you know, how many years into it, depending on where you are in your league life cycle, what type of return options you have there. So you want to kick us off with either of those, Luke?
I do. And here's what I want to say. This is my kind of soapbox, and as Nando said, it's not career ending. We're talking about a 23-year-old individual that will be 24 or 25 when he next hits the field, and he's still very much in the prime of his athletic career when he registered near unfathomable athleticism prior to his injury. And so when you're talking about Saquon Barkley in particular, and for Christian McCaffrey, he's just a year older and his injury is much less severe. So both of them, I would say my impulse was, of course, to like win now and to sell. But like, when you look at it, you're talking about the top two players in fantasy. You can't just give those guys away, nor do I think you even want to give them away for an injury discount. I don't think now is the time that you like start entertaining people coming at you with their nonsense mid game injury offers that start dropping from the sky. People I hadn't heard from for weeks in my fantasy league start with like the foe, like, oh, I feel so bad, man. Here's Kenyon Drake on a 4-year, $33 million per year deal. Don't you want that one? Like, no, I don't want that for those guys. Like,
right. At least let you, there should be a 24-hour mourning period on this at least, like for starters. But depending on how good your team is, like you may want to sell. So Luke, you did trade Barkley in our podcast league, and Barkley had 2 years left on the startup. We're in year three of that league, and Barkley was getting $40 million this year and $44 million next year. And you traded him to a Giants fan in our league. And what was your return, just for our listeners' sake?
The return on that one, we're talking Diggs, Stephon Diggs, for 1 year, nearly $30 million, several years of a rookie TJ Hockenson contract, and 2 first-round picks, where was my 2021 and 2022 first.
Right, which to me is – yeah, to me that's quite a haul for a guy who just got hurt and who's not going to play for the other team. And then from the other team, I guess the question is, like, do you want to try the Tim Duncan strategy if you still have your first-round pick? Oh, well, I'll trade for Saquon, get him back next year, have what pick 1.01 in the next draft because my team, you know, I'm essentially like writing off this year. So to me, that's a viable strategy.
Yeah, but doesn't Luke have that pick?
So in that case, there's been some trades of picks. So Luke has that pick in 2022. He doesn't.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Which the first when I first saw this, I had heartburn because I thought it was a 2021 pick, and then I was like, oh, this guy's basically like gonna finish bottom three and by virtue of trading all this for Barkley, and he gave Luke his pick, but that wasn't the case. And as Luke pointed out on Twitter yesterday, we do have, he mentioned that the two of us seem to have FOMO when we make trades, but I mean, one thing I do want to remind Luke is that I was actually encouraging him to see what his return, you know, if he could get a good return for Barkley, that I thought it was the time to sell because Barkley is costing a lot of cap money. And let's talk about Luke's team for a second. Luke, this is a team where you can start up to four running backs, start two running backs and two flex. And Luke's stable of running backs on this team by virtue of trades, of draft picks, this, that, and the other, and some very astute management. He had Saquon Barkley at this big contract. Derrick Henry for about $13, $14 million a year for a few more years. And then he has CH and Jonathan Taylor on rookie deals. So, this is on top of like good receivers. And we won't get into the quarterback situation because I don't think Luke ever takes that position super seriously from a financial standpoint of resources. So, I mean, I hope my boy Baker produces for him just being a Browns fan. But So Luke got a pretty nice haul for that. And to be honest with you, a haul that I would have been reticent to give up, like for even a healthy Barkley. I mean, the two first make sense. The Hockenson is probably a top 10 tight end going forward. And then Diggs fine is 1 year. So I thought it was a pretty nice haul for you, to be honest, if I'm being honest with you. And, you know, I think the impetus for that, though, let me ask you this. If Saquon Barkley was on a rookie deal and you had 2 years left on a rookie deal, let's say $8 million a year, and then you had this transition tag, say for $20 million in, you know, 3 years from now that you could exercise, like would you have made that trade still?
Yeah, and I'll kick this to Nando too. My philosophy is that if a player is as elite as the Christian McCaffrey or Saquon Barkley of the world, I actually don't worry too much about whether or not it's a $9 million contract or a $30 million contract. As long as it's somewhere within market value, I'm looking more at the player than at the cap space in those scenarios specifically. There's like a half dozen players that if I can get them, I will make the adjustments to the rest of my cap. I actually don't, yes, like rookie deals are worth more. Like I make people pay more of a premium because of the value is perceived to be more. But as far as the player goes, like, we're still dealing with the same precious jewel, regardless of how much you're paying for it.
Yeah, the same way. I think I like that. Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah, no, it's funny because like I tend to be a little bit on the other side of that, I think, and maybe that's just being a fan of like small market teams and baseball or whatnot. But as someone gets towards their contract ending or whatever, and if I haven't won, I don't know if I have like year and a half left on a player and then all of a sudden that player's hurt, I'm potentially inclined to move him at the last inflection point where I think that I can get the value I want. So I have McCaffrey in that same league that Luke has Barkley, and yes, the injury's lesser. I made a deal yesterday that was, you know, maybe a little more criticized because of the value maybe I gave up, but I traded it. Just I didn't have a lot of cap space in that league and there was a team that was selling off. So I, without McCaffrey, I needed a running back. David Johnson's my other high-priced running back. I have, you know, other than that, I don't have a ton of options to play at the flex position at running back, like the Malcolm Brown, Matt Breda type. So, and A.J. Dillon. So I trade it just kind of encouraged by the volume that he's getting for the Chargers. I traded for Josh Kelly, who's on a second round rookie deal, so about $1.5 million a year for 4 years. I traded a 21 first, and then Gronk as a salary dump, another guy's salary dump, and a 21 second, I think, or 22 second actually, for the combination of Josh Kelly on that, Logan Thomas on a 1 year $1 million deal, just because I'm struggling at tight end position. And Mike Davis on just a minimum deal, so I kind of have McCaffrey's backfill. So Luke thought that was a lot of like tethering a first to Josh Kelly was generous of me, and I just kind of like the situation there and the carries he's already getting. And I know it's only 2 weeks, but it seems like a little bit of an organizational philosophy. So Josh Kelly is a guy that, Nando, I'm curious about what your opinion is, just, you know, from kind of a current and a future standpoint, and what both of you think about like what I gave up to get those guys and kind of right size my cap.
It seems pretty fair, actually, working it out in my head. It seems like a pretty fair deal. You got, yeah. I mean, if McCaffrey comes back and is hurt, you got his guy. Although, yeah. uh, are, Joe Person, our Carolina writer, said that Reggie Bonifon is going to split with Mike Davis. I think
that makes you happy. You're a Bonifon stan, right?
Our old Carolina writer, Jordan Rodriguez, she's with LA now, but she wrote this great column on him, and he was basically like trying to be Christian McCaffrey's clone. And so it just made sense to me. Like, you have this guy with 100% of the volume of the team. If he gets hurt, the dude who's right behind him, who was working out with him and trying to play exactly the same way, will maybe take, he's not going to take over 100% of the volume, but he'll get a lot of it. So it just made sense to me to kind of love that guy because I was just a year early. That's all. Yeah. So that's the only problem. I like Josh Kelly. Austin Eckler's not going to go away. I mean, it's
right.
A lot of people who you're either pro Eckler or you're pro Kelly. I don't think you can be pro both of them. That's the problem. You think Eckler's going to do what he did in the first 4 weeks of last year and be awesome. Or you think that he can't handle that load and, didn't perform as well and is a part-time player. But even in that, pessimistic scenario, that only makes Joshua Kelly a part-time player as well. So,
right.
That's the only problem with me. He's there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Luke and I have talked about this a lot this season, this concept. I'm actually curious about just being a Browns fan with Chubb and Hunt and everything else. I think so many people in the fantasy community are just scared off about like what one guy is taking away from the other. And I don't think we're in like this like, late 90s, early 2000s bell cow view anymore, except in a couple different situations. So like for me on that Brown, I was all over Luke. And I think Luke kind of was on board with this too in some of his leagues. Like we both kind of hopped on the Chubb bandwagon this off season, because I think like, I don't know if people were buying low on him. I think we just believe in his, pure rushing ability and everything else. And that if the Browns' identity is what, if Kevin Stefanski, like I personally think the identity that they played the Bengals is their ideal state. They want to roll Baker out, run play action with the run game. And then at the end of the game, in the fourth quarter, just like wear guys out with these two running backs. And if Chubb is getting 15 carries instead of 20, but they're 15, like, University of Georgia efficient carries, he's already shared the backfield with people. So like, I'm not scared off by that. And even in like long-term things like reality sports online. So like in my case, I made an offer today and the guy loves JK Dobbins, so he's not going to do it, but I offered my McCaffrey and Mike Davis for Nick
already.
Chubb.
Yeah. You ready to flip him already?
I'm not ready to flip him, but like if I'm going to get guys, I want to get my guys. So I offered for Nick Chubb on a 4-year deal because he just came up for contract at like around $32 million a year, and then Dobbins on a rookie deal. And that proved written. The other GM likes Dobbins. I can respect that. He didn't want to do it. But like that's the type of thing I'm thinking about with a guy like McCaffrey if I'm going to move him,
Yeah, you got to do that. You got to do that McCaffrey-Davis combo quick.
Yeah. So, well, the
Davis every day you get closer to – Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. But I mean, like I said, as a McCaffrey GM, I'm not going to sell low on it. I do think that 0-8 is a possibility, and then becomes like, I think it's a different situation than like what the Bengals did with AJ Green last year. I think like the desire to play and whatever else. I think it's just a different scenario and a younger guy and everything else. But what do you think about like these running back tandems and everything else in terms of volume and like how the fantasy community is viewing that and how they're paying for these guys?
It's been weird. I think I'm okay with the tandem. Like you said, I'm okay with it if there's enough. Like I guess Cleveland's the best example, but Cincinnati's kind of fallen into that, I guess, with Mixon and Giovanni Bernard again, just a little bit. It's weird. I don't think you can paint it with a broad brush. Basically, you've got to take each one as what it is, because Chargers, they might not run enough. The Bills are going to be a weird one, because the Bills, Brian Daboll had just been, and you probably know him from your Cleveland days. He's runs, man. Like if you go through his Pro Football Reference page of everything he's ever done, it's like so tilted toward the run that I really thought like that would be a backfield with Singletary and Moss where, they could take 30 carries between the two of them and do something with it. And they seem to be wanted. They're passing all of a sudden. And I don't think that's going to last. I think it's going to switch back just because that's who Brian Daboll is he's a running offensive coordinator. So, again, Like, you just got to look at every situation differently, but there are a lot of scenarios where you can get a lot from a shared backfield where people don't think it's going to happen. It's a value play, basically.
Right.
Yeah, why don't we get you out of here on some rapid fire questions along value plays? So when you hear the name Russell Gage, are you a fan? Do you think it's a good play? Do you think he's going to be fantasy relevant for the entirety of the season with the way that the Falcons are flying around down there?
Yeah, I think if you set his base at 6 targets, you'll be. That's where I like him. Like 6 targets as a base, anything above that, I'll be happy with. So, rapid fire. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yes, I like he.
Corey Davis, is he the one or the two on his team for the rest of the season?
I think he's the two, but a strong two, almost like a 1A.
Awesome. And if you had to pick between this, you may have heard this before, but Mo Alie-Cox played basketball at one point.
Yeah, I heard that somewhere.
Sorry, this is an Arby's.
Or Logan Thomas. Which one of those two do you like?
I think I'm still in love with Jeremy Sprinkle, so I would go Mo Alie-Cox. I think Jack Doyle just seems to disappoint every time I get on him. So Mo Alie-Cox, the fresh guy with a fresh quarterback for him.
Very good. And that's actually a good call, right? Like people like Sprinkle have been totally forgotten about. And for those of you in deeper leagues, right now is the time you have to go chasing the Bonifons and the Sprinkles who aren't the darlings of the waiver wire. And that, you know, like, especially like a lot of people, a lot of our GMs are playing in just extraordinarily deep rosters where you have to take these shots in the dark. And I think you've given a couple good ones to our listeners.
Oh, you want the one that I've gotten like lately that no one is on? Robert Griffin III.
All right.
But if Lamar Jackson gets hurt, that's like, talk about a clone coming into that situation, man. That dude's going to jump into that offense, the Greg Roman offense. And I think he still has enough to make him like a very effective player. But I mean, I hope Lamar Jackson doesn't get hurt. But if we're talking about backups and stuff, like I just got RG3 on more rosters than maybe I should.
It's all right. I mean, I'm lighting candles and setting up all the everything I have to prevent any more major injuries this season for anybody as we go along here. So,
yeah.
And how about then the Bills passing game? Do you believe in what's materializing out there, this like love fest between Josh Allen and his receivers?
I believe in Diggs. I half believe in Brown. Anything past that, Cole Beasley, I guess, yeah. So maybe I do, but just like chop off 20% because that's Dable's going to start running again. All right. So yeah, I love Diggs. I really like Cole Beasley, super underrated. And I do like John Brown, but I just don't know where this volume is going to keep coming from.
All right. Well, I will let Goody bring us home in a moment. The last rapid fire from me. And thank you. Like I'll say on a fine, fun note, it was certainly a pleasure to get to meet you face to face, and you are welcome back anytime. Obviously, if you ever want to come play on this platform, it is a fun one too. It would be fascinating to hear how the Athletic folks treat this the game theory behind something of this nature. So the last rapid fire one, is Gronkowski toast? Is he done? Is he dust?
Yeah, I'm going to say yeah. Yes.
All right. Yeah.
The rapid fire for you.
Right. I mean, when your coach says they don't care about how much usage he gets or whatever, that's probably the nail in the coffin.
Well, look what he did to O.J. Howard last year too, man. You know, like it's just it's a double whammy.
Yeah. Just using him for his run blocking, but which he's very good at. So
I watched him on New Year's Eve. You know, we were flipping through the channels and he was on channel 5, whatever, 5, yeah. Fox with Steve Harvey, and it was just not a good show.
Yeah. All right. Here, last question. We'll send you home. So, like your love for Rod Streeter, which I remember from our days playing together.
That was the year. Yeah. That was the Rod Streeter year.
Luke and I have a special kind of love for Nick. We coined him the Wonder Boy Mullins on the podcast. So, how do you think this thing with Jimmy G plays out? Like this week, the next couple. Is this a 1 week thing? Is Mullins someone you're confident plugging in the super flex? And then longer term, do you think this dude starts on an NFL roster in 21? Mullins, that is, not the 49ers necessarily.
Right. So tell you what, man. I was, you know, following the games on Twitter and watching like everyone else. And someone was saying like, you know, Garoppolo's hobbling. I'm like, what's going on here? And then that was it for Garoppolo. So, it was weird. It kind of popped out of nowhere, and no one's paying attention to it until he was out, I guess. But Mullins, I went back, I looked at his game log, and I'm like, holy crap. Like, I felt like you guys obviously know. But yeah. I was maybe I got him just I conflated him with CJ Beathard.
Yeah.
But like it was like 411 yard game, 300 something yard game, a bunch of 250 plus yard games. And he must have like I don't know if I maybe I wasn't paying as much attention as I should have at that time, but Mullins is good, man. Like yeah, I don't know what else he has to do to kind of prove himself. Like you step into this offense and it was an offense like a couple of years ago that wasn't even as good as this one now. I mean, I think it was Marquise Goodwin was like the guy there at the time. So, yeah. I'm big on Nick Mullins the player. I don't know about the situation. Like Garoppolo seems like the kind of guy who's like, no, I want a gritty, tough it out kind of thing, without knowing anything about him personally.
Right.
But it just seems like Mullins' 50-50 shot that he gets it this week, and you know, obviously going down after that. But he does seem like the kind of guy. I don't want to say like Matt Schaub, but like someone who's been a backup for a few years who goes somewhere and is just great. Matt Schaub could, you know, what Matt Schaub could have, the same Matt Schaub right. theory, but I think Mullins is I think he's got a lot of skill. I don't know where right. he'll end up, but I, you know,
yeah,
maybe he's New England's quarterback.
Yeah, it's about like timing. He seems to do well on timing throws, intermediate stuff. So,
than everyone thinks, man. Like, look at his right. game log. It's good.
Right. I mean, he tore up the Seahawks a few years ago. I mean, he turned Dante Pettis into a thing for 5 weeks, yeah. for a huge yeah. 5 week stretch in 18 that everyone kind of built on optimism in the offseason. But now he's not even like a post type sleeper. So, that was really it in terms of questions. So, Nando, I just want to personally thank you again from All About Reality. Luke and I were thrilled to have you. I mean, you
thanks for having me.
You've had, you know, thanks to you, we've had Renee Miller on, Jake, we've had Salfino, I'm sure we'll have Brandon Funston on soon, you know, people like Emery. So, like,
Emery's a good guest, man. Emery is not your typical opinion giver, man. He says some stuff, and then, like, it comes true 4 weeks later, and you're like, how did that happen, man?
Sounds like
that dude wasn't even in the league 4 weeks ago.
Yeah. So we're super grateful for that, and I really appreciate you coming on. Let our folks know where we can find you and like where we can find The Athletic and everything else.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, NandoDeFino. If you ever want to just shoot a note, I try to answer everything I can unless it's foolhardy. But that's it. Just check out The Athletic. Basically, if you just stumble upon any story right now, there's like a dollar a month offer. If you just want to check it out for $1 a month, if you don't like it, cancel it. It was a buck. But that's where we're running right now. I don't know when it's going to end. So I guess do it tonight. But that's it. It's good. We're fun. It's a good time. They're good people doing good stuff. So that's my pitch. I'm not good at talking about myself. Yeah.
Well, you don't have to be. It sounds like you hired a smart crew. We've like Goody said, we've appreciated the company that you've provided us both in the written word and in terms of the company of the guests and the character and their quality along the way. So we continue to wish success to The Athletic and kick all the traffic we can over there.
Thanks, Luke.
Yeah, of course. And it's been a great night. It's been another episode of All About Reality.